Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day, what a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, He is more than enough, my friend. He can still move the mountain, dry up the cancer, speak to the dead, open blind eyes. He is still able, mighty warriors of God. He is still able. Amen. We've got the Raise a Hallelujah crew on this beautiful Tuesday morning.
Hey. We're going to raise something.
Hallelujah.
Right. Let's raise some hallelujah.
If it's Jesus, then if he's in the house, we got to raise something.
Yes. Raise a hallelujah crew. Miss Jeannie and Miss Karen's with us on this Tuesday morning. May the 15th, 2025.
Oh, man. Time to get up.
It's time to get up. And it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. Miss Hannah's joined us this morning. How are you, Miss Hannah?
I'm good. I'm awake. My alarm's going off.
Anytime you beat the alarm.
You're early.
That'll preach right there. Beat the alarm, right?
Hallelujah. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Some chances of rain throughout the day. Not too much, though, I don't think. Just here and there, some scattered stuff this time of the year. I like this time of the year because it's getting warmer. I love warm. I hate cold.
I saw that all over you.
I hate cold.
That's
I like
you keep
warm.
Talking about Puerto Rico. At the
yeah,
time.
It is.
He wants to move.
Thursday's going to be 85 degrees. I like this.
See, I don't like when it starts getting up in that area. Well, humidity. If it's humidity, is there? I'm opposed.
I think y'all need to quit whining about it.
See, 85 is like a cool day in Puerto Rico. I like it. I like it. We're excited. We're excited for what the Lord's doing. He is doing some marvelous things in His people, and I love to hear the testimony of the Lord in so many people's lives right now. And again, we had a glorious weekend with the mothers and celebrating the mothers and just what God did Sunday morning. And just there's a stirring in the atmosphere among so many people and so many churches, and God's glory be poured out, and God alone receive the glory, and let's just move. We move out of His way for Him to receive the glory. We do everything God's called us to do, but we do it not trying to hide God. We try to do it by hiding behind God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All righty. got a couple of announcements. Let's get these announcements out there. Then we're going to move right into Mark this morning.
Mark.
I love Mark. Youth Tent Revival starting a couple nights from here, Uniontown, Kentucky. That is May 15th, 16th, and 17th. Art in the Parks here in Litchfield. Fine arts and crafts, food vendors, music, all this kind of stuff. Student art competition, an art show. Got it all. That's May 17th here at Art in the Park. And then evening at 4 o'clock, I got teenage night at my house. I'm going to have a bunch of teenagers. I don't know how many's coming, but I said the more the merrier. Let's break.
It's going to be fun.
Let's get them all out there. So teenager night at my house on Saturday night. Starting at 4 o'clock p.m., we'll be going strong. I know we're doing giant kickball, wiffle ball. Going to be grilling out some good foods. Got a bonfire happening that night as well. Some fishing open. Just going to be a great night. But we're going to hang out, fellowship with these kids, and just spend some time with them. So we're really happy about that, and got some help coming for that. Me and Heather can't do it alone. We got some other help coming. I know Miss Kelly, Mr. Miller is going to be there. A couple other ones from other. We have another some from another church. At least one other church is coming for sure. And then so I'm trying to talk to some other ones too. So exciting night.
We're ready for Saturday.
It's gonna be fun. I'll probably be so sore Sunday I can't preach. If I preach sitting down, then you know why. And then Bethel Ladies Meeting is June the 13th. Get that on your calendar, 6 o'clock p.m. Amen. Amen. Alrighty. Let's go to Mark. That's all the announcements. That's all I got. Oh, Book of Revelation starts tomorrow night too for everybody. We're not starting in chapter 1, though. All right? We're starting in chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
I did the 7 churches a year, half, 2 years ago. And so instead of going back and doing those again, we're just starting right in Revelation chapter 4. and then we'll book it right through from there. Well, we probably won't book nothing. It's going to be very I feel like it's going to be a slow study on this one.
Are you going to have this available? I mean, is it going to be out
there? It'll be podcast. It'll be podcasted. And then I know a lot of people's already text me or told me in person or something, like, you know, we're in it. We'll study. Let's go. And so, because I told them, this is the one thing that I'm not going to do about this study of Revelation is make everything about our getting caught away. That's what happens in eschatology all the time, is the rapture. And I mean, I'm not belittling it at all. I mean, like, hallelujah, we're going to be caught up to Jesus. But somehow that's what Revelation always gets centered around. And it's not. It's not about when we're leaving. It's about when he's coming. Amen. And he's going to establish his kingdom forevermore, and there will be no end, and he will be victorious, and we will have no need of a sun, because he will be our light, and he's going to come with fire in his eyes and a sword coming out of his mouth, establishing the kingdom, destroying evil, and establishing his throne forevermore on the earth. And I want to make Revelation more about Jesus and less about us. That's kind of my heartbeat around this. Not saying we're not going to talk about the rapture, not saying anything like that, but somehow it always gets around, we're the centerpiece of Revelation. And it is, we are very much involved somehow. Like, if you don't know Jesus going to Revelation, you should know Jesus, because it should terrify you. If you know Jesus, it's a time of celebration, because you're going to get to spend eternity with him forevermore. But let's stop making Revelation all about when we are just going to get out of here. And let's make it more about he's coming, and he will not be stopped, and he will establish his throne forevermore, and his kingdom will be here on the earth.
Was you doing some of this on the radio? Because I remember you saying on the radio you didn't want to answer questions that bumped you too far ahead.
Yeah, I did. There was a question. I was already getting questions about later on, like, you know, going all the way into 16, 17, 18, 19. And I said, let's try to hold it to where it's more, like, I will answer, so we're going to be in Revelation 4, however far in the throne room. We're going to be talking about some of these seven spirits of God. What in the world are they? Stuff like that. So I just asked if we could keep it more more centered around what we are currently teaching.
That's good. Because, like you said, the first thing that happens is, what do you think we're going to be pre-trib? It's usually the very first question for some reason.
But I actually think Revelation teaches us a lot about the Father and heaven as well, and the kingdom. And so I think if that's what I want to do. I really just want Revelation to speak. And then let's try to, by God's grace and God's empowerment, see exactly what he's saying. And some things we don't know. Like, some things it's just going to be, it's likened unto this. This is a possibility. This is a possibility. John says it's like, I call them the scorpions dudes. You know, it's like, it's like a face with a man, but the hair of a woman, but then the body of a horse the size, but then they got this tail that's can sting you. In 6 months, you're going to be tortured, but you will not die, even though you'll scream out for death. Like, you'll be screaming out for death, but you can't die. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever seen one of those. And they're coming from the abyss.
I don't think they're here yet.
And they're coming from the abyss, and, you know, Apollyon is their leader, and, you know, it's
a lot.
Will we know exactly what that is? I'm not for sure, but we could speak on what the Bible does give us context about.
And as we go, like, here we are in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to know more than 2010.
Absolutely.
Because the time demands it. I mean, almost that, and I think the Lord's revealing things that generations before us didn't see into, but you're going to see into it.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, when you study Revelation, you're inherently also probably going to dive into the book of 1 Thessalonians at times. You'll go to Zephaniah. You'll go to
Zephaniah.
You got some Daniel in there. I mean, you'll be going traveling quite a bit. So that's why I say we're going to go slow and just spend time with the book. And here's what I want everybody to remember. The Bible says, blessed is the man who reads and understands this book of prophecy. Mm-hmm. Happy is the man, not terrified.
Right.
And a lot of people scared to read it, but the Bible says you are blessed when you read and understand this book of prophecy. Mm-hmm. Don't add or take away from it. Just let this prophecy be prophecy and let the Lord speak.
So he said read and understand. You think he's saying that those of you who would go to seek that, the blessing will come.
Mm. Yeah.
When you set yourself to go before God's word, anywhere in God's word,
yeah,
then he begins to reveal.
And that scripture, just for everybody, is Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one mm-hmm. who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear. Mm-hmm. And not only hear, but who keep what is written in it for the time.
So it can be done.
Yes, absolutely.
Seems like there's a little bit of prepare ye the way of the Lord in there too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a sense of that about it.
So you might change your name after you read Revelation?
I've already changed my name. God changed my name.
You know, in high school, I think about this often. In high school, we had to, for Spanish class. Now, I took 2 years of Spanish. Still can't speak none other besides poquito español, which means I speak a little bit.
Is that what that means?
Yeah. Actually, I'm learning more and more. I'm learning. I have a deal with a pastor down there that next time I come back, I speak Spanish and he speaks English. So I'm learning.
That should be interesting.
He'll beat you on that.
aprende español. Mm-hmm. I learned Spanish. But in high school, my Spanish teacher gave us new names. We didn't use our name in Spanish class. She gave us a new name, and I got the name David. So I'm gonna cling to that somehow. I don't know how. That was brought to my remembrance the other day when I kind of forgot about it until I was thinking about Spanish class. I was like, you know, my name was David in Spanish, so I'm gonna change.
Was it David?
David. It was David. David.
Yeah.
But it
David.
Means David.
Yeah.
All right. We're in Mark chapter 3, verse 7. Hallelujah.
I didn't get to hear y'all yesterday. And do you have the re-air still?
It should.
We normally get the one from Mondays on Tuesday.
Okay. Well, I listened last night. I didn't hear any.
Oh, re-air on the.
Yeah.
On the
didn't y'all used to re-air at 9:00?
We do. We try to as much as we can. But on Monday nights, it's. I usually can't get it in there.
We're not around as much on Monday after the broadcast. So okay. Normally.
It's
up on Tuesday. I listened and listened and listened. And I was like, where are they? Because I want to hear
what
y'all had
to say. We got raptured up.
All right.
Nuh-uh.
The other day was so funny, Miss Jeannie. You'll love this. Brother Phil's phone went off during service, and it's like a shofar blowing. And I said, is the rapture happening, guys? It was in the middle of church.
Yeah,
and
like
I said,
an actual trumpet shofar.
And then I was like, well, the bad part is we're all still here.
That wouldn't be bad.
Well, I think everyone didn't know where it was coming from because it really didn't sound like a ringtone.
No.
It sounded pretty real.
I don't know what kind of phone he's got, but it's loud.
I want one of them.
Yeah,
it's
a loud trumpet. It was great.
But I usually step out on my deck and just blow it.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun yesterday. We talked a lot about, we had some good conversations yesterday. That will be up today.
I heard just a little yesterday.
Poquito, just poquito. A whittle.
Just a little.
Yeah, Miss Deanna still makes fun of me. The one time we was in San Juan and I said, watch out for the gallo because – and so I'm like, because there was a guy crossing the street, and I was like, watch out for the gallo. And Miss Deanna just bust out laughing, and she told me I just called the guy rooster. I learned how to say gallo.
I've said some things in Spanish. Deanna can tell you. And I can't repeat them on here. But I got the same reaction.
Yeah.
They laughed.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know how we have Miss Australia here. She has an app that will translate into Spanish for me for her as I preach.
Oh wow!
And mm-hmm. and so you know, and somehow I have cussed in Spanish before. So the word that I've said in English translated to a cuss word in Spanish. And
that's what I did.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I don't know what word it was because I'm not saying any bad words behind the pulpit. And we're outside the pulpit. Let's clarify.
It was the accent. Where you put the accent.
It probably was. Yeah. It was. And so, yeah. Deanna said, that's not what he meant. All right. Yeah. So let's do Mark 3, verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea. Again, remember he just restored the guy's hand. This was a great miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that is, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees continue to try to catch him, get him, and he's keep on just maneuvering himself out. He's preaching and teaching. There's a crowd. Like, he draws crowds. The problem with the crowd is they're only there to see the sign.
Right.
They're only there to see the sign. And Jerusalem and Idom and from beyond the Jordan and from Tyre and Sidon, when the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had many. He had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them to not make him known.
No. Mm-hmm.
Again, he is not letting the unclean spirits tell people who he is.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they recognize him, mm-hmm. and they still recognize, because it shifted over into Paul that time, and he said that when they tried to cast out that demon from the one Paul preached, that demon was very aware of who Jesus was,
right.
and who he was working through.
Absolutely.
You know, when you were reading about the multitudes there and the crowds, one of the things that flashed into my mind is that, you know, we have churches today, mega churches, we talk about it, and people will crowd into churches, not for signs and wonders, but for things.
Mm-hmm.
What they crowd to this particular church because they have the best music.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll crowd to this particular church because they have more functions. Mm-hmm. Or what? But they're not crowding into these churches because of Jesus. I mean, I'm not trying to judge every person going, but I'm just saying where the crowds draw, a lot of times it's for a lot of things. Just like these, they were crowding in for the signs and wonders, not because of who he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, too, you know, his disciples, he gave power to his disciples to go apart even from him and do signs and wonders.
Right.
And I think sometimes we think that we have to come to a church to see the signs and wonders, and where we could be seeing them in our homes, we could be seeing them and about. Mm-hmm. So I think it speaks to that too, that, you know, there was always crowds, and sometimes we think in the crowd is where everything happens, but we see in Jesus' ministry that stuff happened one-on-one with people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I always think, you know, if something comes my way, or if it's about myself, you know, I think, well, I'm going to go get prayed for Sunday. And then I'm like, well, what am I going to wait for?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to wait till Sunday? Mm-hmm. Why do I think I have to do that and go to the altar? Let's call them up. Let's do it now, you know. So, but you're right. It's a very personal walk that we have outside of church as well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Yeah. Always remember the assembly is necessary and celebrated, and it's the equipping of the saints.
Amen.
It's
right.
For the preparation of the ministry, mm-hmm. and we should come together and be equipped, and iron sharpened iron, and the empowerment. But it's to empower us to be witnesses and to be examples and to do ministry and be ministers of reconciliation and to edify and to fellowship, celebrate, worship together, open the scrolls, right?
Yeah.
Open the word of God and share it with each other. Amen.
Yeah, that's what he says in 14, so he could send them out to preach.
That's right.
And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils.
Yeah. Well, here, so the crowd's following him, and remember, listen to what he said. Let's see here. And he told the disciples, for he had healed many, and so that all that he, wait a second, where am I here? When the great crowd, verse 8, heard all that he was doing, they came to him. So they heard what he was doing. They was coming for what he was doing, because they needed healing. And, you know, some of these included unclean spirits. Some of these were diseases. Some of these things. I think these people have enough recognition saying, we need freedom. We're going to go. And when they go, these unclean spirits that were attached, demonizing them, they cried out. Now, again, Jesus is sitting here, though, And they're these demons, these unclean spirits, these demonic entities, they're wanting to declare who he was, and he hushes them. Mm-hmm. I always find that one solid mark of a real man or woman of God is one who stops letting people celebrate who they are.
Come on, come on. That's exactly right.
You look at Paul and Silas, they finally got tired. What she was saying was true. What this woman with the spirit of divination was saying was true, but it was building him up. Religion loves to build people up.
That's right.
And to edify, and I mean, put people on pedestals. But what we see here, even with Jesus, is he's like, it's not my time to be known yet.
You know, you're right. You're so right. I mean, on a personal level, as I began to teach Bible study or get opportunities to speak and realize that God had called me to do a thing, people would start, I love to hear you teach. I love to hear, oh, you're such a wonderful, you know, and that's all fine and good, except you're inside. I started feeling a little uncomfortable about all that. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to believe what they're saying.
Right.
Instead of knowing that you have been led by the Holy Spirit, and if there's anything happens in this room today, it will be his doing. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I had to come to that pretty early, because even though you like to hear, once you stand up, you want somebody to say, hey, man, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but what you do with that can get into a place that's no good.
Yeah, you read your own publicity, and it'll lead you down the wrong path.
A lot of times, I don't even watch. I won't even look.
Yeah, I remember Peter and Cornelius. And Cornelius, when Peter goes into the room with him, Cornelius starts to worship Peter, and Peter throws up his hands very quickly and says, "Don't! I'm a man too." Like, and I think we have to remember that. And I think Jesus. I think there was a lot of reasons that Jesus did this. Not just he was humbled, yes, but also I don't think it was time for people to understand who he is yet.
Mm-hmm.
He had not, I still believe what he was trying to get people to do is having a personal revelation, not just a secondhand revelation.
Right. That's right.
They need to know who he is for
themselves.
Yes, come
on.
And
that's
so,
right. That's right.
Because it's easy just to follow the crowd.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, don't, you all hush. Don't you tell them who I am yet. This is the second time this has happened in Mark. Is where unclean spirits started to say, you are the Son of God, and he hushed them. Mm-hmm. And he hushed them. And we can learn a lot from them, especially in the deliverance movement, and stop letting demons talk all the time.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so there's a lot here.
Especially when they're proclaiming who you are.
Yeah.
When unclean spirits are proclaiming who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not the ones you want saying, this is the Son of God. You know, you don't want them proclaiming who you are.
Amen.
Yeah. But if you look at modern-day Christianity, it's built on the backs of men.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And on the giftings of men,
on the
appeal.
Who's who.
And names and this and that. Yeah. And it's not about my name. It's about his name. And if his name is not lifted up, my name is. Then all men will not be drawn unto him. They'll be drawn unto me, and I will fail them.
That's right.
And
your house is already shaken.
And we need to point people towards Christ over and over. Right. We stay hidden. He stays magnified. Right. And
I love you. I do. I seriously love you. And I, when you speak, I mean, I go catch it. I'm going to hear the message that Aaron brought today, because I believe with all my heart that you got it from the Lord. Right? I believe you're the man of God that you need to be to get from him. But if you run off tomorrow to Puerto Rico and you don't come back and it's not good, it won't phase who I am and how I follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the churches that follow are not just churches, people who follow people that always hear this, always get knocked off.
Well, you know, I think this is along the same lines, but, you know, I've told this story many times about Jeannie had asked me to teach a Bible class, and she had told me what she wanted me to talk about. Have I told this before? She told me what she wanted me to talk about and everything. So
we were on a subject.
Yeah.
I wasn't ordering her to talk.
No, she wasn't. She was giving me what she was thinking, what was on her mind. So I went, you know, and I had all the scriptures and I had all that stuff, and I'm sitting there and I'm bringing it and everything. And there's this one person in the room that keeps asking me questions. And I'm not opposed to that. But, you know, it came down to a place where the question kept coming in maybe a different form. And finally, my only response I had was, well, Jeannie Shelburne said so. But I learned right then and there, I've got to own it. And I can't own what belongs to somebody else. And I think that's part of what he's saying right here, is that you cannot have that relationship with him just because somebody else said something to you about him. You've got to put your hand to it. You've got to look at what the Word of God says and how he says it to you. Because it'll be different, but it'll be the same. But you've got to be the owner of that, what he gives you. It can't be based on a preacher, a teacher, a song, or anything else. It has to be you and him.
Right. We're just delivering. We're delivering. Mm-hmm. And you receive.
Right? Yeah. And I was looking at this verse in Revelation 9, because even the angels don't receive it. Like, they're stopped.
Right.
Like, stop. And in verse chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 8 and 9, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Now, some people say that's Jesus, but I don't think it is. I think there's an angel showing him things here. I personally don't think it's Jesus in this, because, again, there's a lot of reasons I could get to. This would come up more when I actually teach, but it's not saying the angel of the Lord. Angel's not capitalized here as a personal as a pronoun, like a noun, actually. It's just the angel. And if you go back up in two, you'll see, I believe that then the angel showed me the river of the living water, bright, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. So it's like the river's throwing from the Lamb that the angel's showing him. So I don't believe this is Jesus here speaking. I think
you
it's
should not
angel.
Have went to Revelation. You should not have done that.
I know. I'm cheating.
Because I always read that, and I always wondered about it because of verse 9. You know? He said, I'm your fellow servant in the King James, and of your brethren, the prophets. Mm-hmm. And I always went, is that an angel or is that something else? Is something else going on here? I always questioned it because of those sayings right there. And then he said, of them which keep the sayings of this book. Now, I know angels hearken unto the voice of the living God, so they're going to be moving and shifting and doing what they do because God said so.
Yeah.
But somebody said one time that I heard somebody preach this, that angels, they don't have any thought about it. They just obey God. But that's not true.
No, it can't be.
It can't be, because then the third of them wouldn't have failed. Mm-hmm. So there is a place where they're still obeying by choice what God said.
Yeah. Right? Because God tempts no one with sin.
That's right.
So there's no way that God forced the angels to sin so they could fall. Like, God creates all things good. Lucifer was created good. Like, Lucifer was very good. He was an anointed, marvelous, beautiful, amazing creature. Angel, I guess you could say, but he was you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he fell. Mm-hmm. God didn't make him fall. He chose to fall.
Right.
And I think there's throughout, when you get into angelology, I think without a hesitation, they have free will. And I think that's proven throughout the scripture.
Exactly. Right. And so you believe this is just an angel?
I just believe
messenger
it's an angel
from God.
I do.
Right here.
I just believe it's, I don't think it's Jesus. Okay. I think it's just I think if it was Jesus, they probably
would.
Well,
it wouldn't be Jesus. He's not doing
that. Well, some people want to say because he is probably referred to as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament.
Many times.
And then the captain of the Lord's host kind of deal. Like, you know, I think they want to apply this, but I think it's just an angel. And I think this angel is showing John these things. Here he's telling him, stop worshiping me. Stop worshiping me.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I'm just a fellow servant.
Right.
I'm serving him with you.
And it, you know, that's still today. I mean, I hear these things in places, and you know, people just ooh and ah about angels and about demons and about all the darkness and the light. I mean, but their focus is not on Jesus. Their focus is on the supernatural, and it's still no different than what he's saying here. Don't worship me. And so I say really strong right here, don't worship that. And how do you worship something when you give it all your attention? Mm-hmm. And so there's a attraction to the supernatural.
Right.
Yeah.
Such an attraction. But here's your attraction. Get over on faith in the Lord Jesus and watch him move. Amen. And that's the biggest attraction of all, not demons and angels.
He's the ultimate supernatural.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's the highest supernatural.
Yeah.
He's
Without
the,
him, there would be no.
No, that's super, right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
I always think that we should remember that Jesus actually wasn't trying to bring glory to himself on the earth.
That's right.
He was bringing glory to the Father.
Exactly. And
he said, you know, he even prayed, I think it is in John 17, like, you know, let me pick up back up the glory.
Right.
Because he laid down the glory for a season, and he made himself lower than the angels. But then he's like, it's time for me to pick back up the glory that I had with you before the foundations of this world. And so I think we always have to remember, even in these moments of doing great miracles and signs and wonders and all these things, he is actually trying to bring glory to the Father, because he is the express deity of who the Father is. Mm-hmm. And he's came to bring the light. The light in the Hebrew, if you study this, is he's actually trying to bring the revelation of the kingdom to the earth, and he's living it before us. Mm-hmm. He's given us the light of who the Father is, and he's also given us the light of what we are called to do as the body of Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And as the real as Israel, and as the chosen people, and as Jesus brought the light into the darkness, he brought light, and the earth could not comprehend it. Even though they saw the light, they couldn't, because they were blinded and their hearts were evil.
So we get on one side or the other. Mm-hmm. We get Jesus only, or we get just talk about the Father only. And you can't have either one without the other. The scriptures are clear. But Jesus came to point us to him, to display the Father, it was the Father's love that sent Jesus. Jesus is pleasing him.
Because and in Revelation, that first verse says, God sent his angel to reveal Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing where Jesus says, I do what my Father does. Mm-hmm. I say what my Father says. Mm-hmm. Right there, he's pointing it all back to the source. He's pointing it all back to the one. And that's the Father, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep. And then the Father says, the Son's throne's forever.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I just love it.
Confirmed.
Yeah. So that's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great one. And I don't struggle with it. It sounds good to me. You know. I love it.
Oh, man. Let's take a short break here. Get a first trivia question out for the morning. Who prayed and raised Dorcas from the dead? Mm-hmm. How'd you like to have that name? Who prayed and raised Dorcas from the dead?
I thought the same thing. Dorcas.
That's how I say it. I actually think that's really
it. Y'all better watch out. I am positive there's somebody out there is named Dorcas. And we apologize.
I've called people Dorcas before.
No.
Now we're getting a confessional time here.
No.
All right. 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Vox 2 Radio on the Vox 2 Radio.
I wasn't kidding.
Hallelujah. We are back on this May the 13th, 2025 on the Vox 2 Radio Network with you this morning. Got the crew out here, Miss Jeannie, Miss Karen, and Miss Hannah, and myself is with you this morning, celebrating the goodness of God.
I love seeing Miss Jeannie when the break ends and we come back on, and she like jumps a little bit.
You know, I'm not talking about me. First y'all talked about Dorcas, and now you're talking about me.
She like gets startled.
I didn't
she's
say
like
nothing.
She's like, oh no, we're back on. She doesn't say that, but her body just jumps a little bit.
Okay.
We don't have an answer yet. We'll keep moving with that. So again, to Dorcas, who prayed and raised Dorcas from the dead. 270-257-2689.
So was Dorcas named?
Did you know that Dorcas, like how Matthew and Levi are two different names for the same person, that Dorcas's the other name for Dorcas is Tabitha?
Huh. Sorry, Tabitha.
I found that one time.
See, you could have done this a lot. You could have done right by her.
I could have. I'm sorry. Oh, but You know, I was listening to this sermon the other day. I was listening to this sermon. Well, here
to
we go.
To be continued while well, he answers this.
Yeah, go ahead.
You go ahead. Talk about me some more if you want.
Okay, Miss Jeannie, she's so awesome. No. I won't be like those people worshiping the angel.
Yeah, please. Yes, please
you
don't.
Too,
oh, no, then I just call Miss Jeannie an angel.
Oh, that we won't have any problem with that because that's so obviously seen.
I'm studying this more. This one person, he just said something really passing. Like, it was like one of those really quick passing moments, but it really sparked something deep in my heart. And I'm wanting to study into this more. And I don't know if it's going to be like a Sunday morning sermon or something we talked about on the radio or something. But he talked about being the light of the world. And I just have to say this because we was talking about being the light a minute ago. And he talked about the Hebrew word being or for light and to give light. And then he talked about the word Torah, which is very similar in the Hebrew to give instruction. And then he brought into how Isaiah literally talked about giving light in the light of giving instruction. And the Torah was called to give us instruction of the Lord's way. And Jesus coming to be the or the light of the world, illuminating the instruction that he gave us, gave it into manifestation, gave it into what we are called to do. It's really the wordplay. And if you look at these words in the Hebrews, they're feeding off of each other, mm-hmm. and very similar. And how Isaiah's poem with the, you know, give light and give instruction in Torah, and so which part of the word Torah is give instruction, but it could have a root word, I do believe. So I'm looking into this more. It's really interesting.
Well, you know, I thought of a scripture when you said that. It's I think it's in Psalms or Proverbs, I'm not sure. But it says, the entrance of his word brings light.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's an illumination going on when his word is received and he's able to reveal. And so it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
He is that light.
And what he was doing with Israel was he was raising a body that would not just talk about his word. They would so live mm-hmm. and be the manifestation mm-hmm. of his word in all the earth
right.
that they will know him because they see them. Mm-hmm. And they are that's what Jesus came to do, is mm-hmm. become the express deity. But he was the firstborn among many brethren.
As I am, so are you.
And yes. Philip, you know, when he prayed, you know, I want to see the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But now Holy Spirit lives in us, mm-hmm. and we should become the conduit and the reflection and the witness of who the witness is. Not the witness of church, the witness of religion, or the witness of this. The witnesses that we are becoming by way of Holy Spirit is the witness of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the witness of the Father and the kingdom mm-hmm. of God that has come to earth.
We act just like him.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to forgive just like he forgave.
Mm-hmm.
We love just like he loved. When we see sickness, we go lay our hands just like he did.
Yeah,
I mean, we really are becoming.
Yeah.
As he's transforming us, it does not yet appear what we shall be.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. when he appears, we will be like him.
And this mm-hmm. is John 17. Father, make them one with each
yes,
other.
Yes, yes.
As I am one with you, and then bring them into us yes. and let them become partakers of the divine nature. Not meaning we ever become God. We just establish this. This is, we never take his place. We're never becoming God, but we become who he is
yes.
in the earth
yes.
as the light of his instruction, so that the manifestation and the product of his instruction will be seen throughout mm-hmm. all the earth. And that's what Israel's intent was.
It'll be pretty close, because if he's in us and we're in him, yeah. if my life is gone and my life is now hidden in him, there's a connection there that's stronger than just I know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely so much stronger than that.
I talked about it yesterday. It's a mindset.
Yes.
Our mindset is his, and when our mind is his, then we'll make decisions that he would make. Mm. It'll be automatic.
Yeah. And we'll check down and make sure that we move by the Spirit of God mm-hmm. here first. You know, a lot of times I was telling somebody this the other day, but you know, like say you and me are getting ready to talk. Jeannie, I want to ask you a question. Immediately, there's a switch that goes off inside of me. And my switch is, right now, my attention is on how you want to respond to this, Lord. Mm-hmm. It does.
Before the question.
Before the question. Mm-hmm. I'm at attention inside mm-hmm. because I want the Spirit of God to give me the answer. whether it's no matter what the situation is, I want him to show me how I'm going. How do you want to respond, Lord? That's what I say inside.
To instruct you.
Yeah, exactly.
With the light.
And that's mm-hmm. I think that's the life that he has planned for us. I think this is it. This is, he promised that would be a thing within you by his spirit. He mm-hmm. he gave that, and his intention for us is to walk this earth like that.
I don't think we haven't tapped into all of what he wants to do there. I mean, not even close, but we can, you know, I think we should press toward that for mm-hmm. sure. That's what Paul was talking about. I'm not going to stop. I'm not stopping because I'm going to keep going till I'm there, till it's there. Yeah.
I think religion has us convinced still trying to get to heaven.
Yeah.
That's what religion still is convinced of. We're living life trying to get to heaven. So I'm not going to sin so God's happy with me. I'm not going to do this, and I am going to do this. I'm going to pray so God likes me more. I'm not going to sin so God likes me even more. I'm going to do all this because we're actually still trying to earn the Father's affection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he didn't come so that we could do better. He came so that we could live under a different covenant and we could live under a different kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we should thrive to live in his ways, not just try to get into his presence. Mm-hmm. The entrance into his presence is not us. How do we draw near to the Lamb? By the blood of the Lamb. That's mm-hmm. how are we granted entrance into the presence
by
of God?
By faith, and
it's
access
not by
has
my
been
works.
Made.
Mm-hmm. It's by his blood. Mm-hmm. I'm in his presence right. because of him, not because of me. And that's why on Sunday mornings, let's use that for an example. I know we're not exclusive to Sunday, but Sunday mornings, you may have had a horrible week. You may have missed the ball. You may have struck out twice that week. Mm-hmm. It may not have been great, but I can go in there and get into his presence and get healing and get restoration and get forgiveness, not because of me, but because of his blood. And because of, and I'm not excusing sin. I'm not saying anything like that, but there's an entrance into his presence and there's an abiding in his glory because I'm in him, not because I'm good enough. Mm-hmm. And the problem is I'm never going to be good enough within myself. And religion has us always convinced, because it's distracted us. That's what's happened. It's distracted us because we're just trying to live a life not to sin, and he's trying to bring this whole kingdom into our life so that we're living and manifesting his instructions in the earth. And that's really like if you take Sermon on the Mount 5-7 in Matthew, he's teaching us a different culture. Mm-hmm. If you look at what he's teaching us throughout the New Testament, these are words of eternal life, not words of struggling and getting by and
mm-hmm. till next year.
I hope you make it. I hope I get to heaven. No, there's no hope I get to heaven. There's an assurance in his blood because I'm trusting in his atonement and I'm trusting in his righteousness and I'm trusting in Jesus. And now because I'm in the presence of the Father and I'm what was the Holy Spirit given to me for? To transform me into the image of Christ. That's Romans 8:29. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm predestined to do. You want to talk about predestination?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. I'm predestined
exactly
to be
right.
transformed into the image of the Son.
That's right. He's going to finish a work in you.
But yeah. Religion really does have us convinced we're going to spend our life trying to do better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, you think God said in the old and the new, he said, I will write my word on their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that they might not sin against me. I will do that. And that's one of the things I've had to get better at is coming off of that place you just talked about where I thought I could do better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a constant, it's a burden. It's a heavy burden that you cannot carry. It just bogs you down.
I want to speak to that. Because I want to go back to the part where you said that you go into his presence. You had two strikes, but you went into church on Sunday and got in his presence and got forgiveness and got instruction, got correction, got whatever you needed there, and learning to walk, keep walking there. Go ahead, go on, go get in his presence. I know it ain't been good. I know you ain't been good. Go on up in there anyway. Because this is the place where the refreshing happens. Mm-hmm. This is if you learn to, in spite of where you mm-hmm. think you are, I have a visual thing about that. And for my own self, I drag whatever's got a hold of me. It's going into his presence
That's
with
right.
me. It's going because
is it a flea?
Yeah, and it does whatever's what I'm struggling with or what I think I've done, whatever, when I get in his presence, it changes and everything gets back into view. I see what I need to see. I repent if I need to repent. I get the instruction if I need the instruction, whatever he's given me. But this thing is over. That's my point. It's mm-hmm. over. And so many times when you do things that you don't think you're not a good, you're not this, you did this, whatever, you keep yourself from the place of life that he wants to bring to you right now. That ends the whole thing, but you stay away. You don't go to church because you don't feel worthy, or you don't feel you're guilty over how you've acted or whatever. You know, I was teaching a Bible study one time, and I was on my way to the Bible study, and I just had a big blowout with my husband. We had a pretty good fight that did not get settled, and when I got to the house, it was a house that we were doing the Bible study in. Before I got there, I stopped in the cemetery because I loved it there, and the sun was going down, and I was sitting there, and I was like, Lord. I mean, the blessing of the Lord was no doubt on me, no doubt. And I said, how could you bless me? You really know me. You know exactly what just happened at the house. And I'll never forget his answer. He was so quick. Mm-hmm. He said, because you never keep anything from me. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, it changed who I was that day. And everything that's in my life, I don't care what it is or how I've messed up, it's going with me into his presence. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I needed to speak that to somebody.
Yeah. You know, we talked briefly about this yesterday, but you know, a good example is in the scripture is Peter. Mm-hmm. Like, we always think Peter, he just had it all together once he got the Holy Ghost and preached that sermon in Acts and everything's changed. It didn't. Gosh, he still made some boneheaded decisions. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He ended well.
And, yes.
And I think we have to understand he who has began a good work is faithful and just to finish that good work.
Got to go back to that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I used that scripture last night. That used to be my favorite scripture, didn't it, Karen? Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody that was in my Bible study, they could quote that one if they didn't quote any of them. He who began a good work in you. Amen.
Well, you know, again, what the verse that I've been thinking about a lot lately is Jeremiah 29:11, and it's not so much the first part of the verse, but it goes with it. But at the end, he said, he's got thoughts of peace and not of evil toward me. Mm-hmm. And then he says, to give you an expected end. Mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about predestination, that he has predestined that one who knows him and follows him, this shall be yours.
Yes. That is predestination.
Yes, that's he predestined that those who knew him would receive wisdom from on high. Mm-hmm. You know, he predestined those. And the thing that, again, I have to watch out with myself is that I think I'm in charge of that. For some reason, I think I've got to bring those things about. And come to find out, as usual, I can't do it.
That's right.
But then I become frustrated with myself. Mm-hmm. I got to come back to the one who can bring it, the only one who can bring it, and the one who spoke it from the beginning.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Hannah, we kind of didn't do your Kingdom Corner, so...
Well, we ain't done, are we?
No, we got plenty of time.
No, and we do have a guest at 8:30. So the ones on the events that are having the fire youth tent revival, we're going to have them on. They're going to talk a little bit about that, but she also came here to the last women's meeting that we have. So she was our speaker.
Oh, okay.
Miss Barbara. Uh-huh. Yeah, and her husband, I think, is going to be on with her too. So Pastor Rigdon. They're calling at 8:30.
Okay. Well, you got a good long time. What's on?
Oh, no, I'm not going to take that
what's
long.
What's in your Kingdom
Jenny's
Corner?
Like, you got time.
We got time. I need all that time.
What's in the corner?
What you got in your corner?
Well, actually, what we were talking about earlier reminded me of this verse, and this is where I'm going to go today, actually. So Proverbs 4, starting in verse 14, and it talks about the path of the wicked, but talks about how they're stumbling in darkness. So I'll start in verse 14. Proverbs 4:14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it, do not go on it. turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. Mm. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words, and incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life.
Mm-hmm.
So, that verse, there's so much in this portion here, but the verse has always stuck with me about how the way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they do not know what they stumble over.
Right.
So they don't even know what they don't even know that they're stumbling, because there's an ignorance there. And it reminds me what we were talking about earlier about the light bringing awareness, bringing revelation. Darkness is the complete opposite of that. Darkness is confusion. It's chaos. And in that, there's an ignorance. It's ignorance. It's right. A not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about what a blessing it is to not be stumbling without knowing it. You know, mm-hmm. to be able to actually see. I don't know if, well, three of us in here have glasses, so we relate. But, like, to not wear your glasses and be stumbling and not be able to see. Like, sight is one of the biggest blessings we could ever receive. To be able to see what's in front of us,
right.
To be able to have a vision of what's around us and be able to function like we're supposed to function. We take our vision very for granted. But that's what I see here is just the contrast of that, of why, you know, why to avoid the path of the wicked. There's so many reasons, but if we could even just focus on one so that we may have our sight, to be able to have the sight of the Lord. Because he sees things that we can't see anyways. Even a believer who's not stumbling in darkness necessarily, the Lord sees what we can't see because his ways are higher.
Mm-hmm.
He has that higher viewpoint of, you know, we might think, you know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in
right.
the end thereof is death. When we lean on our own understanding, we know what ends up happening. We always will fail ourselves or fail others, even a believer, even those
right.
of us who have been set free and enlightened to the gospel. But, like, even that, a believer versus an unbeliever, both of us need the sight of the Lord. We need mm-hmm. that clear vision, that leading in the revelation of him. And so even more do the ones that are in the path of the wicked need it, because, I mean, they don't even know what they're stumbling over.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we know what we're stumbling over because we've had at least that revelation of Jesus mm-hmm. in our salvation.
And we have the conviction.
We have right. the Holy Spirit
yeah.
to know, you know, this isn't right, to guide us, to lead us. But I think there's that word that, you know, if you're in that path of darkness, then please, you know, let the light in, let that revelation of Jesus change you and transform you so that you have sight with the Holy Spirit, conviction, leading, guidance. But even for us believers, I think we can take away from this.
Mm-hmm. You know, you say it, they don't know what they're stumbling at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. And of course, we live in a world that right now, everything imaginable is happening.
It's dark.
It's very dark. And why is it seem like tomorrow that thing that hit the news today is bigger than yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. And just when you thought, oh, how could anybody think like that? The next thing you know, they even go worse than that.
Right.
And the Bible's speaking of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's speaking of it. And the part that we have, how precious is the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
because the promise was that he would lead and guide us into all truth. And so in that week, without that, you're going to stumble, and they don't know what's right. And so they keep looking for what's right. And you'll hear the name of right as mm-hmm. they proclaim the next wicked thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a confusion, there's a deception there.
Yeah.
But then the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn.
Mm.
And it said it shines brighter and brighter and brighter mm-hmm. until the full day.
Yay.
And that full day, we know what that's going to be. The fullness, the one, mm-hmm. you know, of Jesus. That day when mm-hmm. He comes and he makes it, he levels everything out, and you know, justice is served, and righteousness is fulfilled. It's already fulfilled, but it's displayed. You know, it's on display for all to see, and that's how it's amazing. But it's truly just such a contrast. It's either the brighter and brighter and brighter of walking with him, or unfortunately, it's on that other path, the darker, the darker, the darker, leading eventually to...
You know, you said the contrast. When I first came to go after it, you know, I grew up, I knew who Jesus was. Yeah, I knew he died for your sins and things like that, but I didn't know him. Mm-hmm. And when I decided that I was going to go after this thing with everything I had, I'm going to find out. If he's real, I got to know. You know, it was the contrast that got me. Because as surely as the evil was present and I could see it, sometimes in me, there had to be an opposite to that. There had to be. And that's what grabbed me. I have to go find out what the opposite of this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it may not be everybody's journey, but, you know, it's what got my attention, because the evil had become so evil that it was so obvious, you know, and I always say this, Satan always overplays. You know, if he'd have just left people in that little foggy place, then he probably could have got a whole lot accomplished. But because while you're in the foggy place, he goes ahead and turns all the lights out, he caused people to actually get desperate for God. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, they're running out. They're going, there's got to be something
different. Mm-hmm.
So I always say he always overplays.
Yeah,
he messed up.
He does. And I mean, I love that verse in Jeremiah that you were talking about. Of he thinks thoughts of peace towards us, and you know that is the opposite of being robbed of your sleep. I mean, it talks about it here. They're robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, what
That's
a statement.
Crazy.
I can't imagine your heart being so full of that kind of evil. But, the Bible says that there will be a place where God will turn them over to their reprobate mind. He'll cause a delusion for people who just refuse to look toward him. They'll get delusional about where they are. And I think we see that all the time.
I do, too. I mean, that verse 16, that one you just read, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. I mean, really,
you think about it, and that is like the definition of torment. That's the definition of being bound and you know, bound up. But that is why, those of us who have been brought out of that, we can rejoice today by saying, like, we're not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, if anything else, if everything else is going wrong, and, you know, like we talked about on the Sunday morning, that we've struck out and we're just going through it. If anything else, let's look at where we've came from.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look back of where that darkness of when we couldn't even sleep unless we had done something wrong, you know.
I think sometimes you forget because you're not around it. Like, you know, if you get back out there, get back out there in the midst of the world, and you'll begin to hear the conversations, you'll begin to see the actions, and you'll realize where God's brought you from. Mm-hmm. You will, real quick.
Yeah.
And all the more reason that's when you need to be that light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not a, you shouldn't do that, but the light that says, you know, he's got more for you than that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen.
The revelation.
Verse 13, I know you didn't read that, but it's a good one too. It says, take fast hold, mean to seize it, of instruction. And you know, the thing about it is the instruction means chastisement. Correction, reproof, warning, instruction, restraint. It means all those things. And, you know, one of the things that is incredible is that as you go along in the life with the Lord, and he corrects you.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
But the thing of it is that even, I'm not saying you are like, yeah. But at the same time, in a part of you, there is something that is rejoicing because he has corrected you.
Yeah.
And you have trusted him.
Amen. Well, we did have an answer for that first trivia question. Who prayed and raised Dorcas from the dead? It was Peter, Acts 9, 39 through 40. Brother Steve got that correct. Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Survey. And why was did we have this question yesterday? No, this was the hard one. This is one they couldn't get. Abijah. How do you say that? Now, I always get that word from Abijah. Abijah. Okay.
Abijah.
Why was Abijah certain of a victory in the battle against Jeroboam in 2 Chronicles 13? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Are back. We still don't have an answer yet, but hey, we're going to get one. Why was Abijah certain of a victory in the battle against Jeroboam in 2 Chronicles 13? Mm-hmm. It's one of those.
Now, what version is that? I mean, you know, they could be stumbling because they're the version.
Miss Gretchen uses KJV for you. All right.
No stumbling in that version.
Abijah. It's one of those names I just always struggle with. You know, like you can say other names, but that's just one I've always. Abijah. All right. Well,
I feel like it sounds wrong.
I think it probably is.
We probably are going to
put it on your Hebrew tab.
I did.
What did it say?
I looked it up. It was Abijah.
Oh, it was.
That's
Abijah.
How they, that's,
like Elijah.
Yeah.
How'd you say pronunciation? Abijah.
That's all I need is Abijah, Elijah, Elisha. I mean, it's hard enough to keep Elijah and Elisha separated.
Like some of these names that we read, like, could you imagine like when their mom was upset and yelled them? Like, Abijah, get over here. All right.
Except they'd be saying it in their language. So be.
Yeah. It's got some stuff in it.
It's awesome.
It's got some stuff.
Brass.
I really hope that I could speak Hebrew when I go to heaven.
Oh, I love that.
That would be my favorite language to speak is Hebrew. Like, I'm no joking. That would be the most incredible one because I love.
Oh, you don't think we're all going to speak that language?
I hope so.
I mean, I don't think we're going to be still mixed up.
Yeah, we're probably not going to stick with English. But you know, like in that series that I watched, and David was singing, and he was singing in Hebrew. That was so amazing.
Sounded cool.
It was really cool. It was. It really
it's
was.
It's got a sound to it, and again, it really it's a does. Super. And you know, Jewish music has a sound.
I like the eerie, Jewish music. Yeah, the eerie, like minor chords.
It's always minors with him. I know.
It's the sound of David. There's a sound to it that you can, if you hear, listen, you can hear it from afar off.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a sound.
Uh oh.
I think you should like narrate like something about David. Aaron, you're like really into it.
David's my friend.
Have you ever seen that one where David danced as they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city and he danced before the Lord all the way through in just a loincloth? You ever seen that online? Uh-huh. It's old. It's from an old movie. It's probably for y'all. Now, I don't know if it's before they's born, but they's definitely young. But you have to look it up. It's a well-known actor that does it, but it's very anointed.
Gear, I think his name was.
Yeah, whoever he was. But he danced all the way in for the Ark, and it shows Bathsheba being disdained because he's dancing like that. And you know, it shows that part of it. But he danced all the way through. It was worth watching. Mm-hmm. It's worth watching. I think they did it to the Spirit of the Lord.
Right.
That song.
That's it.
The Spirit of the Lord.
It's upon me.
Dwells in me. I will dance like David danced.
That's it.
It did it to that music. Yeah. As they carried the Ark of the Covenant into the gates of the city.
That was a good song. That has a lot of minors in that one, too, though, if I'm not mistaken.
Almost everyone. I love playing, what's our song? There's None Like You. I love doing that still. I do. You know, it's got that celebration in it, even though it's minor chords.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right.
Did y'all bring a word this morning? Got something in your hearts burning?
No, we was listening to her.
We've been burning since we walked in the door. What are you talking about?
Okay, I got to say this. We were at worship practice, and Aaron was drumming, and me and Kaylee were over there, and he said something, I don't know, they were trying to figure out the song and the beat of that one, and he said, well, when the spirit gets flowing, it'll all come together, and me and Kaylee, we dropped our jaws and said, what are you talking about? The Spirit's already flowing.
What do you mean, when?
No, I think I said it differently, but she wrote it down and said she was going to use it in this game we play called Fun. I said, what are you talking about, man? The Spirit's flowing already.
Already. He's already.
All right. Well, I did have something on my heart, but I want to know, did you finish
your corner?
Yeah. Your corner. You think you finished it? Well, give us the bottom line again.
Oh, I have to get back in that mode of thinking now. I don't want to go back to the darkness.
No, that's it.
Kidding.
That's it.
Well, she went back to verse 13.
Right.
So that's kind of what we ended on, mm-hmm. was okay. the instruction, which kind of wraps around to what we were talking about earlier. But yeah, I think, you know, just being reminded of, like for me, what was sticking out was being reminded about the peace that we have now versus the unrest and the chaos that we had before when reading this. Because, I mean, this speaks to the ones that are, you know, it's saying, do not enter the path. So these are the ones that aren't yet on that path of wickedness necessarily. But it also speaks to all, whether you're on the path of wickedness, whether you've been rescued from that path, you are not on that path anymore. But I think we can go back to that path. Yeah. I mean, we see in Scripture, we can walk away. So it's
agreed.
Saying, do not enter the path. And I think it can be a reminder of us so we're thankful, but not just so we're thankful, so that we do not re-enter that path in an even worse way. Because, you know, whenever we turn back, oftentimes it's worse than we ever were before. If it's a believer that turns, I mean, we see with
agreed
with so many examples of that.
I heard someone say this. They said it to me last week, and they said something was going on. They said, why does this always happen to me? And, you know, the thing of it is, I mean, there was just something wrong about it. It was kind of like what you're talking there, and it might just be a slip, but, you know, the Bible says be careful that you let nothing slip, because you can slip. But the thing is that, again, things do happen, but sometimes you got to look at this place of where did you get your instruction, and it's not always. I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say here, but, you know, we put words on things that happen in our life, and we act like it's forever and it's always been that way, but it hasn't been. But see, that language, that talk that you hear going on inside, even if it's only inside of your own head, you need to pay attention to that. And you need to pay attention when it comes out of your mouth, because, again, what's coming out of your mouth coming from somewhere else. But, you know, the thing is that's the conversation of the world. Well, they destroyed his life. No, they didn't. Well, he's a survivor. In the Lord, you are more than that. It's the words that are spoken that speak blessing or curse. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes you don't even know that you're speaking those words of wickedness, or loss or whatever over your own life. You need to pay attention to the words that are going on in your own head and what's coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Because, you know, everything in life has a reward.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reward that comes from knowing the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reward that comes from the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we've talked about. It's stumbling. It's confusion. That's the reward of that life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to pay attention to what we're saying. We really need to pay attention. The word is so important.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. Mm-hmm. This world started by the word.
Amen.
You know?
And then, you know, the scripture of, you know, by our words we will be justified or condemned. By our words we will be condemned. By our words we will be justified.
Mm-hmm.
So it matters a lot, you know, for what we say and every idle word that we speak, you know? So that's a good point, too. And even with what Ms. Jeannie was saying over the break, like, you know, I don't know why that part about the sleep just really stuck with me. But even like the ones who are in that path of darkness, like a lot of times the evil, wicked things or those temptations, whether it is drugs, alcohol, or pornography, whatever the thing is that enticed you, that is leading you and trapping you even more as well. Like, it seems like a reward. It seems like a good reward until the payment comes due, right, for the sin.
But, you know, even things like bitterness and, you know, unforgiveness, those words are important too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't think of those things just like you do alcohol and drugs. They're all that, but those are addictions.
Bitterness.
Too. Being bitter, being angry, being unforgiving, being negative, all of those are there. And again, it's the Lord. It's by the Lord that those things become different, but you got to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
We had a listener question come in here. I want to get this out here, and we'll answer this real quick. Well, I don't know about real quick. We'll answer it, though, by God's grace. Can you explain Ephesians 5:17 when most think God's will is a mystery? So can you explain Ephesians 5:17 when most thinks God's will is a mystery? So first, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, this is what it says. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord of the will, to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I think a lot of people start to say it's a mystery. I think, is it Colossians or Galatians that says, basically, seek out the mysteries or mine out the mysteries? And in practicality, what he's saying, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, let's see here, starting in verse 9 and 10, making known to us the mystery of his will. Now, what is this mystery of the will? I believe the mystery of the will here is how is redemption. It's how it was laid out. There was a Messiah coming. Israel knew the Messiah was coming, but did not know exactly who the Messiah was going to be. There was a mystery to it. But do I think the Lord's will for our life is a mystery? I don't.
I don't either.
I think we have to pray for guidance and wisdom and direction, but he lights the path of the righteous. He illuminates the path. I think we sometimes think God wants to hide stuff from us, but he doesn't. Even here, the mystery of his will, I think the mystery of his will was revealed in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's our job to mine it out, to mine the riches of his glory. I want to find that scripture.
So while you do that,
go ahead.
I'll do this.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Go ahead.
A cross reference for that verse was Romans 12:2.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Is that where you're going to go?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Mm-hmm. And before that says to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Holy and acceptable. So that's how, you know, we must present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We must know who he is, but then mm-hmm. by being transformed by the renewal of our mind.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think one of the key words there is will. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can know God's will, but, you know, like you said, present your body a living sacrifice. Are you willing right now to go with what God has for you? Or are you going to hold back? See, but if you don't hold back, if you go ahead and up in there and surrender your will, then he says this, you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
I like that.
And
so
you
right.
may prove, you will prove. Uh-huh. There's a place you're going with me right here where you're about to prove what my will is.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. In your life.
By
in your life.
Your own.
Because you've denied yourself now and you've come after him, mm-hmm. right? And so he says, you're going to prove what's good, what's acceptable, what the perfect will of God is. How are you going to prove that? Your life's going to live it right in front of everybody.
Right in front of
you're
everybody.
Truly going to become a light of the world right
Would
here.
Would you say, like, by denying yourself and by crucifying your flesh, that would be, like, you're on the track to discovering his will? Like, if you crucify your flesh and deny yourself, you're going to find his will if you're seeking him.
That is his will, you deny yourself.
Well, I think it's the one I was thinking about is Colossians 2:2-3, mm-hmm. that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance mm-hmm. of understanding. Mm-hmm. This is full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is what? Christ, mm-hmm. in whom all hidden are all things hid, all treasures and wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Mm-hmm. It's been revealed in Christ.
Right.
Like all of them were hidden. He never hid his will. He never hid his plan, mm-hmm. even from the very first sin in the garden, Proto-Evangelium, which is basically mention of the first gospel in Latin, is literally from the seed of this woman, there will rise one that will crush the head of the serpent. Mm-hmm. He's preaching the gospel in the garden.
Right.
There is no
mm-hmm.
mystery. Mm-mm. Now, to our life, you know, do we know everything that's going to happen in our life? That's not his will being hidden. That means that we're still living this thing out. We're making decisions every day. We're trusting his wisdom. Does he know what's going to happen tomorrow? Absolutely. He's working in it. All right. But in reality, like, we may not know everything that's going to happen tomorrow, but that doesn't mean his will is hidden. His will is clear. His will is that none would die and come. None would perish. His will is that we would walk in the fullness of who Christ is. His will has been revealed in Christ, his plan. And if we would seek Christ mm-hmm. and we would find and mind the mysteries of the Word.
You'll prove it.
That's right. How yes. I proved him over and over, it says.
Yeah. What you're saying is exactly what he's saying here. He's saying, you'll prove what is that good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's a verse for that, Miss Jeannie. Colossians 1:26-27, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed mm-hmm. to the saints. Mm-hmm. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the mysteries of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's it.
There is no mystery will. The mystery mm-hmm. the mystery was how he will redeem, but mm-hmm. Christ has revealed all mysteries, mm-hmm. all wisdom, all riches, all things are hidden in Christ. And he has given us the words of eternal life.
So we get down to everyday life, and that's where people end up going. You know, well, it doesn't say in the Bible that I should do this today, you know. But see, this is what he's talking about right here. When you get a hold of this ministry, Christ in you, the hope of glory, mm-hmm. you know, with him in you, everything he has, everything he is came with him. Well, you're not going to be at a loss here. And if you'll press in, lay down your life and press into him the way we're talking right here, begin to let his conversation be your conversation. Mm-hmm. Let the words of heaven come out of your mouth, not the words of everything else the world's got to say.
That's right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
There's a word that like sums all of that up, and it's in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the second cross-reference that it uses right. for that verse. And that's what all this is. I mean,
that's exactly
your
right.
will, that's staying in his word. Mm-hmm. All of the things we're talking about is sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The work of the Holy
you just
Spirit.
Change positions.
Yeah.
You're out of here. You're out of this world. You're not in it anymore. You're not of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're learning what you are of.
And he did say that. And in Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And again, I am always amazed when I said and I look at how far God has been willing to go mm-hmm. to ensure that I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's gone to great extremes mm-hmm. to make sure that the way for me is a possible way. It's incredible how far he's willing to go.
And then in that verse of 1 Thessalonians, it says, "This is the will of God."
Concerning
or,
you.
"This is the will of God."
Right.
Your sanctification.
Right. That's right.
It's not rocket science. Mm-mm. He's got it laid out right in front of us. And if we'll get in there, if we take the time, and this is where people don't take the time. I love the next verse because I was an alcoholic. A drug addict, alcoholic, or anybody addicted to anything, don't matter what it is, understands this verse. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein there is excessive,
mm-hmm.
but be filled with his Spirit."
That's right.
He's done compared being filled with the Spirit with being drunk, with being addicted. I'm telling you, when I saw that, I was like, I know how to do this. I'm serious. I did. Somebody out there feels me. I know they do.
I
get it. Uh-huh.
I didn't think about nothing else except my next drink. I didn't think about nothing else. And everything in this day was going to be centered around whether or not that was present. Now, you throw that into the spirit. Come on. And then, not only that, but I'm gonna do it till I'm satisfied. I'm not coming out until I'm done. You know, there's no more room for no more. Now get that in your spirit, man. I'm telling you, there's a life that with the Lord here, being filled with His. What did Paul say? Be ever filled.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm gonna be filled with His Spirit like brand new today, because I'm gonna look for it. I'm gonna drink and drink and drink because I can't drink no more. I am.
Uh-huh.
That's be ever filled with His Spirit. I say, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit today, that I would be bold to say to somebody, You're the way. Whatever. I pray those kind of prayers all the time, because it wasn't no one experience I had back there.
Because mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, if it was just one experience, I would have never got drunk.
Right.
Yeah. Come on. I know it's good. It's true. It's right. You know, so if you don't know what to do, just keep going after it. Mm-hmm. Just keep going till you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep.
The new wine.
Yeah, yes, yes. But that new wine has to be poured into a life that's wide open to Him.
A
born again man has to be able to drink this wine, and you won't drink that till you surrender. You won't taste it till you surrender. But it's when you do, the ability and the capability of knowing God's will is there with you all the time.
You're going to walk in it.
For everything, yes.
You know, I said something in Bible class last night. The thing is there's no getting around the things of God. If you're looking for the life that He's promised, there's no getting around anything. You know, because He's building a house, and the next step takes this step, and you know, this surrender thing, this dying to yourself, it's required in order for you to know the things that He's talking about in a greater fullness. Mm-hmm. There's things that are required of you and me because He said so. And it's really comes down to how far do you want to go with Him? How mm-hmm. far, how much do you want Him to use you? How longing, what is your longing here? And if that's the case, then you can't get around anything. You might come right up to it and come to a mm-hmm. dead stop, but you're not going to go any further, not the way He talks about.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get around the things of God. You have to go right on through them.
So don't be unwise.
Yeah.
But understand what the will of
the
Lord
you go.
Is.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you.
Well, we're at our next break. We're at our next break. Hallelujah. All right. And I guess we'll play a song here. And then when we come back, we'll try to get...
The Rigdons,
that's right. I drew a blank right there. My brain just went... the Rigdons, Pastor, was it Bob Wright?
Tim and Barb.
I don't know where I got Barb. See, Barb. There we go. That's Tim and Barb Rigdon. We'll be back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Woo!
Yeah, come on! Yes, yes.
Glory, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah.
We saw that David coming out.
Yeah. Nothing but the blood.
That's
hallelujah.
She said he's dancing like David.
Yep. But praise God, I had more than a loincloth on. linen
yes,
ephod, right?
I appreciate that.
more than a linen ephod. All right.
Means a lot.
All right, Miss Hannah,
well,
take us off.
Well, are they on with us?
Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Morning, man.
Good morning. We're just having fun in here this morning. How are you all, Pastor Tim and Barb?
We're good. Great.
Thank you all for coming on with us. Thank you so much. In the room with us. Thank you. In the room with us, we have Miss Jeannie.
Hello.
And Miss Karen.
Hello.
And Miss Karen was here at the women's, the last time that you visited up here with us at the women's conference. Mm-hmm. So it was a powerful time.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. It was a good time in the Lord. Honored to be with you, lady.
Amen. Thank you so much. And we are honored to be with you again and to hear from your husband. I would love to hear from him this morning, after hearing his testimony, that part of his testimony that you shared with us at the women's conference that was really powerful.
And we're excited and honored to be here this morning.
Yes.
Thank you.
God is good.
So why don't you all go ahead and give, if you want to go into some of that testimony, your all's testimony, and also just kind of go into how that has shifted you all and what God's doing through you guys in your ministry with the well. I know you have some different locations that you all do ministry, and you have a lot going on. And then also you all have that teen or that youth tent revival coming up. So I would love for you to hit on all of those, but you could start with that part of that. Just share part of that testimony, if you could, with some of our listeners that weren't able to be at the women's meeting with us.
Okay, well, first, I just want to say we do pastor the Well Churches of Western Kentucky. You know, our main campus is in Providence, and my husband founded that church almost 30 years ago, right, hon?
Yes.
Almost 30 years ago. And he's from North Carolina, came to Kentucky to start a church. You know, he's from the Maggie Valley area. But God, we also have like the Well of Sturgis, which we've had. It's a Church of God of Prophecy church, even though we're a non-denomination interdenominational, whatever, independent, that is a COGOP church there. And we've been blessed, and we've been there about 5 years.
Yeah,
so God is good. I mean, when was it, honey? About two years ago, July the 25th, my husband, they were working. Honey, do you want to share some of it?
Well, we were trying to do a tent revival.
Yeah, and it was like 100 degrees outside.
The thing about it is every year we live in Sturgis, and this is called the Little Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. And we had a pastor who was a former pastor came down, and we were trying to do a tent revival out here beside the church, and I was having trouble with the sound, setting things up and stuff, and it's real hot. But if we ended up, I didn't know it at the time. I thought I was under the tent and drinking water and stuff like that, and Gatorade and all that. But ended up having a heat stroke, and then the heat stroke went on into another kind of stroke.
Yes.
And
It happened. He had two massive strokes, and he had never even been sick before. I mean, had never taken any medicine. He wasn't even someone that would go to the doctor for anything. But the enemy, tried to take him out. And when we got to the hospital, he was critical. I mean, they gave him an 11% chance of even living.
Wow.
And I tell you how good God was. As people just began to pray, and we began to speak life over him, and he began to tell me that this wasn't his final chapter, that God had a plan. This wasn't it for me not to worry. So we just began to pray and speak life, and sure enough, it wasn't. I mean, God had a plan.
Amen. What ended up happening, we live in a county called Union County, and they had us here, and they moved me to Evansville, Indiana, and to the ICU there, and that's when they determined all these different things about the strokes and stuff like that. And like Pastor Barb just said, I didn't feel like it was my final chapter. I said, I'm not going to die. I said, this ain't what God's plan is. I said, God's got us here because there's people here that we would never get to minister to had I not got put in the ICU. And so this doctor came in, introduced himself. I don't remember his name and stuff.
Yes,
and we introduced ourselves, and we said, well, we passed the church, and I said, we're here on a divine purpose. I said, I know you think it's about the stroke, but I said, it's much bigger than that. It's not about me. And I said, is there anything we can pray for you about? And come to find out, the
doctor had been diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And Tim told him, Tim said, I'm going to be a miracle. And he said, we're going to pray for you.
Come on.
So in the ICU, and he was critical, he began to lay hands and pray for that doctor. And
before we knew it, we had a prayer line going to nurses.
People that needed prayer. And
yeah.
I'm laying in the bed in the ICU. And
still critical. They couldn't get the blood pressure regulated, and they thought that it was going to get much, much worse.
Yeah, they said something about the first 2 days or 3 days or whatever. But, you know, we just kept doing what we know God's called us to do. And we just kept praying for people and believing God for them. And I'm of the persuasion, me and Barb both, that you reap what you sow.
Amen.
And so, you know, I know there'll be some people that say, well, you needed prayer, and of course I did, but at the same time, I wanted to sow the seeds of healing.
Yes.
You know, so some reached some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And so we were praying for other people, and I know the byproduct of that is the harvest that we reap, which could be people praying for us, you know, and but we kept ministering to them.
Yes.
And as far as I know, and I'm sure it's happened before, but I've visited a lot of hospitals before and prayed for people, but they moved me from after 5 days in ICU, they moved me straight to a rehab facility.
Yes, and in that facility, he was there 11 days, just to kind of give you a quick thing, but the day that he left, the doctor said he had never sent anyone home. He had absolutely no effects from the stroke whatsoever, except the fact that he can't swallow. Now, that's a serious thing because he does have a feeding tube, and it's been hard. It's been an adjustment. It's been a true adjustment. But, you know, we just keep pushing through. And Tim has said from day one that we prayed and we asked God for a miracle. And we know that God, he's already healed. The word tells us that he heard us the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just believing. And he feels like that God is going to complete that miracle when he gets in front of the right person. Somebody needs to see somebody have faith for healing. And even if we have to go through what we've went through, and I'm going to be honest, it's been hard because, like I said, we do have three churches. Just got back from New Jersey. We were in revival there. We saw 13 people rededicated their life and 3 or 4 people saved. That was just last week. God's not done with us, and he's not done with my husband. And I'm sorry, sometimes he coughs, but that's because unlike us, we can swallow our saliva, and he can't. But he still ministers twice on Sunday. Every Sunday he preaches on Sunday morning and Sunday night. God's using him stronger than ever before. I feel like he has even more revelation than he did before. But God.
Amen.
But we're still waiting. We're still waiting, and we're trusting God. We know that God's got a plan.
The cool thing about the rehab, the last day I was there, I knew I was getting out, and they set me in a stroke
rehab. It was a group.
Support group.
Mm-hmm.
that I hadn't been in all week long, and there's about 10 or 11 of us in there, and I was the only one that wasn't in a wheelchair, and I was the only one that, well, I'd been there less time than any of them, and and so I asked the lady, I didn't just presume it or jump into it, I said, this is my last day, could I pray for everybody in the room? And I guess she thought I was going to say a pretty little prayer, and she said, yes, go ahead. And so anyway, I stood up and started going around the room because I kept the oil in my pocket and started laying hands on her.
I love it.
Her eyes got real big. Whatever.
What could she say? But, you know, he prayed over and anointed with oil and prayed over.
Spoke life
over those that was in there. And from that day forward, we've never looked back. I mean, you know, to be honest, I think he's been to the doctor twice since it happened. And it has been almost 2 years, but, you know, we trust the Lord, and we just keep going. And, I mean, we're still busy, and, I mean, we've, you know, he still ministers and takes the dates, and we still do revivals, and just like, you know, you were asking about, you know, what's going on, our youth, one of our spiritual daughters had a vision.
She's just 14 years old.
And she reminds me of myself, because I was saved at 12 and filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 13 years old. And she reminds me of me, but she had a vision for this. And she wanted to do it before school was out.
She came to us and we said, what are we going to do?
We wanted to help her. And so this is a tent revival. We own a tent, and our ministry does. And so we've got a tent revival in a really small little community up here where she's from. And
Uniontown,
Kentucky.
On the Ohio River.
Yes. And it's called Find Your Fire 2025. And she's went all through the school system, I mean, door to door, inviting people. I mean, we've had groups out. And we're believing God for harvest. It starts on Thursday night, May the 15th through the 17th. And what it is we've got Thursday night, one of our spiritual sons and daughters will be ministering. And then Friday night, the well will be ministering. And then on Saturday night, we have a young woman that is, she's still a teenager, and man, she's awesome, anointed by God, and she's a worship leader, and she also, you know, speaks. So, I mean, we're excited about it. We know God's got some things, but you just go ahead. I didn't mean it. We didn't mean to take up your time, honey.
Oh, no, that's what y'all are here for. Just thank you so much for sharing that. I didn't even remember, or maybe you didn't share that part about in the doctor having cancer. I could not remember that part.
Oh, no, honey, I didn't.
Yeah, that.
No, I didn't, because you know what? When I was up there, you know, that's where I'm from, and you know, I was glad to get to be there. Around my sister was there, some of my family, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't really planned on sharing any of that, but you know what? The Lord just spoke to me and said, you've got to share that. You've got to share what I've done. You know.
Amen.
And so. I mean,
and it was just really powerful.
Well, I tell you what, I feel like God, you know, to God be the glory. It's nothing nothing that we're doing. We know that God can, he'll use us. My husband, he writes books, you know, and he's got a book, his first one that he wrote is called The Donkey. And it's about Jesus. It's about the donkey carrying Jesus, you know, on Palm Sunday. And he always says, he always quotes this, he always says, God can use any donkey. He uses one every Sunday morning.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
That's so good.
Balaam's donkey to talk. And I found out, and this is a book for leaders especially, that we're just the donkey he rides in on.
Yeah.
And he chooses to ride
on. That's right. That's right.
You know, because the donkey could get all puffed up in himself when he was coming in town. They were shouting Hosanna and waving the palm leaves and stuff. You know, he could thought, well, I'm something big, or I've done something, but it wasn't him, it's what he was carrying.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
That's
good.
And that's what I love. I know that whenever you were here, it was an encouragement, I believe, to those who are just walking through hard situations. And one of your words that you gave us was, you know, that spring is coming. And that, you know, the season of this heartache, you know, it's there's joy coming, there's spring coming. It might not mean the whole situation changes. We might, and it was a testimony to me, you know, that you are still continuing forth even with the challenges of the feeding tube and those things. But it was like an encouragement to keep pressing on, even if we don't see the full manifestation of what God's promised us. But just hearing the backstory of that from Pastor Tim there, it's just really powerful just to hear from him. And then also, you know, the backstory behind that tent revival, because I had seen on your social media and shared it on our events page, because, you know, I'm always, you know, it's amazing to have extra opportunities for youth and teens to fellowship, because, I mean, the world is dark in their generation right now. And so to have those opportunities, you know, we wanted to get the word out too about that. But to know that that was a vision of a young person, I had no idea. That it was a vision of one of the young people. And so thank you all so much for coming on and just being an encouragement. And and really challenging those who right now are walking through maybe some hard times, hard situations like you all have, but to keep pressing on. And that's honestly what we've been talking about all morning on our broadcast is, you know, a lot of these same things that you all are sharing with us this morning.
One quick thing before we have to get off here, but last November I'd been invited to go to Lenore, North Carolina to speak at the church for a men's conference.
Oh, yes.
And we got down, it was a Friday night, a Saturday morning. They had me scheduled for a Saturday morning, which is fine. But on Friday night, of course, Pastor Barb, she dropped me off and went to the hotel. And the other pastor there was speaking, but before he spoke, his wife introduced him.
So they wanted, Tim said, well, you know, they want you to come and introduce me when I speak. And, you know, it kind of caught me off guard because most of the time, you know, men's conferences, they really don't want the wives there. Well, anyway, and that's okay.
Just like
it's a guy thing, you know.
Well, just like women's conferences.
But so that day I went and introduced him. And before I introduced him, they had like refreshments. And I stepped back in the area and I began talking to the other speaker's wife. And she started to share with me. She said, listen, and she started to cry. She said, I just want to tell you. She said, I wanted to talk to tell your husband this, but she said, I just couldn't. She said, when I saw him last night and I began to hear, you know, his story, she said, it really hit me. She said, my dad had a feeding tube and he passed away. And she said, I've been mad at God. She said, here I am, a pastor's wife, and she said, I've backslidden on God, and she said, because of the anger that was in my heart, because I wanted him to be healed, I wanted him to live, and she said, I've been so mad at God, and she said, when I saw your husband and I heard the story, she said, I was encouraged, and she said, I prayed, and I asked God to forgive me, and she said, I rededicated my life. She said, and it was all because of that tube, and so that feeding tube. And Tim says, well, you know, we talked about it, and it was a blessing. So we knew God used that.
The thing about it is, it's what Satan is meant for evil, or to take you out, or take you down,
or take your voice.
Yeah, if you will just say, okay, God, you've got a plan in the midst of this, then you know what Satan meant for evil, God turned for his glory. So
he brought a pastor's wife that had been trying to pastor and serve the Lord, and his wife had gotten bitter, and wouldn't even come to church for over a year, she said, and she come back to the Lord because of obedience and my husband's feeding tube.
Oh, a tube.
Yep.
You know.
Go ahead.
We did the same thing. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, before I'll say this real quick and then let you, we still have a few minutes left here, but you know, you were talking about how the enemy tries to go after your voice. And I'm just sitting here thinking like, you know, it's his voice, you know, he speaks through us. And sometimes he can, you know, even a season, oh, I feel the Lord speaking this might just be for me, but, even a time where our voice is maybe silenced, or there's something that's keeping our voice down, it's for his voice to be able to speak even louder. And that feeding tube spoke even louder than I think regular words could have spoke to that person.
Right, right.
And man, I just feel that is that, you know, what the enemy meant to take out our voice is really just allowing God's voice to speak even louder than it's ever been able to before.
Mm-hmm. But you have to decide, because the Bible says when you go through the fire.
Yeah, not if. Mm-hmm. Not if, honey. When.
It said, so we're all going to face different obstacles in our life. Not everybody's going to have a feed to, but somebody's going to have an obstacle. And you can either let that obstacle have you, mm-hmm. you know, and control you or dictate your destiny, or you can say, okay, God, this is temporary. Yeah. And that's something that the Lord gave me about a month ago. I started preaching on the temporal versus the permanent. And you know, this ain't our last chapter. This is not how I'm going to end. I know that. I know that God is going to heal me. I have no doubt. but I have peace about it because I know it's not about me. It's bigger than me that he's going to heal me when I'm in front of or around someone who does maybe believe that they can see that miracle, that their faith can rise up.
Yes. And Hannah, you know, we want to encourage you because, you know, God is using you. And just like that I, you know, spoke that night up there, you know, God has a plan. And, you know, there is times in our life that we all feel, I mean, but it's only for a season. You know, I truly believe it's only for a season. I'm believing that for our lives. And I know that our best days are ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And I know that yours are too. And we're excited about what God's doing up there at the church and through you all and your radio station. I mean, God is doing some great things.
And the thing about it is we have to rightly discern between a season and a cycle.
Yeah.
The seasons have a beginning, the seasons have an end.
Cycles do.
Cycles are continuous. And sometimes we get into a cycle that the enemy wants us in, rather than realizing, hey, this is only supposed to be a season. It's just like Lot's wife. They told her, he said, we need to pass through, and you know, they were getting out of Sodom and Gomorrah and stuff like that. And she looked back, and so many times we get stuck in a place that we were called to pass through. Rather than passing through it, we just get stuck there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, this too shall pass, so to speak.
Amen. Amen.
You know, one of the things that you were talking about there was when you went to the hospital and, you know, you were in this this situation, but in the process you found out that your doctor had been diagnosed with cancer, and you all began to minister and to pray for him and everything. You know, what you just said there, there are places in your life that you are meant to pass through.
Yeah.
And that's and but what really spoke to me when you were talking about that again, being about what the Father wants you to be about in this life that He's given you, is everything to you. It is your nourishment. It is your healing. It is your substance. It's your protection. It's your provision, and because it's what you need. And
amen.
But it, that's an incredible thing, because again, you ministered to someone, even though you were in that situation, you ministered to someone. And I believe that there's every possibility that that's one of the reasons you walked out there out of that place sooner than most people, because it was a place you were intended to pass through.
Obedience. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's through just simplistic obedience, just being obedient.
It's incredible.
The problem we get into so many times is when we go into a bad situation or we have a bad circumstance rise up in our life, we start thinking about us instead of, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me, or you brought me here to pass through, or whatever. That's the goal. Is we prayed and we believed ourselves, so I knew we were going to be okay, you know. Okay, now, Lord, why are we here? What do you want, Lord?
Yes.
We have to go back to what is the assignment upon our lives.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you all so much. I mean, that just, if you could wrap it up, that in itself is so good to just take away that, you know, what's next? Once we've stood on the faith, we believe the word that God's spoken, we know that His word doesn't return void. What's next now,
amen.
Lord? What's the assignment? What's the reason you have me here?
Yes.
We have like just a few minutes left here, and Miss Jeannie that's in here with us. That was Miss Karen, by the way, that was speaking.
Okay.
And then this is Miss Jeannie here, and she had asked if we could pray for you guys before we we head out. So we want to pray for you all. Miss Jeannie, would you mind to lead that prayer?
Father, as we listen to this couple, this one in the Spirit and in the Lord and in the flesh, they're one with each other and one with you. And we've heard their heartbeat. We've heard their testimony. We've heard their desire that I'm pretty sure was put there by you. Lord, I pray that all that they've dreamed of and all that they've desired to see you move in these days through them, through these teenagers, through all that they put their hand to, that it'll explode in this hour. Mm-hmm. That the fire would blaze.
Amen. Yes,
for those kids. And it would start something that would never end. And Lord, as I, the thing that just kept coming to me over this couple that has been faithful to lay down their life, even in the midst of where they looked like their life was threatened, they laid down their life. And you will prove your will in their life. That's what this is for, that you will prove what is your will to wherever they step. And Lord, I pray that as they go, that He will find the right moment, the right place, and we join our faith with theirs. As His vocal cords release the words that are bundled up inside, and they come through in such force that His throat can no longer stay closed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this testimony. Thank you, Lord, for this necessary part of the body of Christ. And Lord, we give you glory. We thank you for their healing. Yes. And we thank you for their ministry. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We receive every word.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you all so much for coming on with us. And we hope to hear from you guys soon. And we'll be looking forward to hearing testimonies from that tent revival.
Amen.
Praise God for that youth and her obedience to share her vision that the Lord set on her heart. So you all have a blessed rest of your day. And we're standing with you. Standing with you.
Thank
Love
you very
guys.
Much.
Amen.
Thank
God bless you.
You
all.
God bless you. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right.
Hey.
Well, we're out of time this morning.
We are.
Flew by.
Flies by.
I think we should have at least one moment up ahead. It doesn't have to be today, where we just break all the rules. Just break them.
Okay.
Yeah. And we go further than we ever did. Just go further than we ever did.
I love it. Well, a lot of times we do break the rules on the breaks, but. We just have a 24-hour broadcast.
Right.
24-hour marathon.
Whoever wants to pass it, come on. Pass
it. A marathon. Marathon.
All right. Well, we do love you guys. Praying for you all. Blessed day in Jesus' mighty name. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. Until then,
you raise your hallelujah.